Welcome to The Stepmom Side with Alicia Crasco, the podcast for stepmoms ready to create the life they want and one they actually have a say in. Here we talk all things stepmom life and just a little bit more. Leave the superficial conversations at the door and get ready for perspective shifts and actionable advice to help you on your way to creating the life you want, one step at a time. Hey, welcome to this week's podcast episode. I'm super excited about this one. It is all about nine things that I've learned in 9 years of marriage, and they're not really in any particular order, so I don't want you to think like, oh, this one's more important than that one, or that one's more important than this one because she put it first. But the things that I wish that I knew when I signed up to be a stepmom, because damn, did I wish that I knew. Like, I did not know how hard it was going to be. I did not know about the growth that I was going to go through. I did not know about the trials and tribulations that my marriage was going to take on just because I was a stepmom. If you're anything like me, you're probably like, oh, my partner's got an ex and they've got kids. Yeah, big deal. Like, so what? Not really heeding the advice of your girlfriends that were probably like, oh my God, I could never date somebody with kids. And then now you're like, oh, yeah. I don't know why they said that. I know why they said that. Or I know why people are like, I could never date somebody with kids. And there are parts of me that are like, I get it. And it's wild because when you are friends with somebody that maybe is thinking about dating kids, you're like, well, that person seems like, you know, like the person they're going to start dating, like that person seems like a really nice person. And I don't want to be like, hey, you need to run. But also, like, I feel like I have a due diligence to tell you, like, about the things that are going to happen. But then that's the thing. Like, every single situation and dynamic is totally different. So what I experience in my stepfamily, like, they might not experience in theirs, which might not be what you've experienced in yours, and vice versa, right? Like, what they might experience might not be what I've experienced, and you might not have experienced what I've experienced. So there's so many different dynamics. So I always try to, like, let the relationship play out however the relationship is going to play out. But now that I've just talked to you off, like, let's get into the nine things that I think are really important because I've learned them in the 9 years of our marriage. And so if you're like, wait, nine, you guys have only been married 9 years. How come you said that you've been a stepmom for over a decade? Because I've been in the kids' life for over a decade. I can't believe that this year is going to be 13 years that I've known them and, like, in their life. But yeah, we've only been married for 9 years, and there's that story. So first things first, what I would recommend is that you protect your marriage. And let's just go back to, like, the beginning. Like, if you're a new stepmom, like, you might still be in this stage, but if you've been married for a while, or if you guys have been together for a while, or if you've been together for a really long time, like, go back to, like, when you guys started dating. Like, go back to those early years and remember when you guys started dating and everything was amazing and you're like, this is great. You could sneak away for, like, nights out or vacations or whatever the case may be. And it was wonderful. Like, when you had your partner's attention, you had your partner's attention and you were like, this is amazing. This is the best thing ever. And then you felt like, oh, we can take on the world. Like, who cares if, you know, the ex is kind of crazy or the kids, like, what, they're just kids, right? Like, we'll be able to get through it. And then reality hits. And then reality sets in. And you're like, oh, shit, this is a lot harder than I thought that it was going to be. Help. How do I get out of this? And then now you're Googling, like, stepmom support. And if that's you, hey, girlfriend, like, I'm glad that you're here. I definitely see you. I've been there. But there's something to note. Like, if you two aren't on the same page, it's really easy for anyone, everyone, to, like, drive a wedge between the two of you. And it could be the kids. It could be the ex. It could be your in-laws. It could be your family. It could be your friends. Society. Hell, it could even be the stories that, like, you tell yourself, like, this is too hard, like, I can't do this, or our relationship is never going to be enough because they were married for so long, or they'd been together for so long, or, you know, she got all the first, or whatever the case may be. The stories that you tell yourself also factor in. So it's important to protect your guys' relationship. And I'm just going to tell you now, because I'm sure you know this, but not everything is going to be perfect all the time, but knowing that you've got common grounds or common beliefs about how your house should be ran, how you guys want to raise the kids, will help you circumvent a lot of issues. But if you find yourself at odds with certain things, take a note, and then when things have kind of cooled off, you can come back and have a conversation like, hey, you know what? I've noticed that we are fighting a lot about the ex, or I've noticed that we're fighting a lot about the kids or a specific kid or a specific stressor or specific issue. Can we have a conversation about that? Like, I don't want it to turn into a fight, but can we have a conversation about how to get around it? And I would say before you even have that conversation, something that you absolutely need is a free resource that I've got called Mastering the Stressors. I will link it in the show notes, but this will help you figure out like what the stressor is, what your current reaction is, why that's not working, and kind of figure out like a new way to approach it. So that way when you go and have this conversation with your partner about like, hey, can we fix some things? You can already say, this is not an easy pill to swallow, but you can already say like, hey, you know what? I know that when this topic or this stressor or this issue comes up, I already know that I do this, and I know that it doesn't work because of whatever. Like, I'll give you a specific example for me. We were having issues with my in-laws, and I would just blow a gasket. So the issue with my in-laws, it was very specific, like certain things, but that's the overarching thing. But in the freebie, like, I want you to be very specific. So what the stressor was my in-laws. What reaction I was doing that wasn't working is I was blowing a gasket. Why wasn't it working? Because it put my husband on the defense. And immediately he was like, whoa, this is like, everyone's just trying to do the best that they can do. And I was like, no, they're not. Rawr. Okay. So then it was like a little bit of self-reflecting for me, like, okay, and now what am I going to do next? Now what's the new thing that I'm going to do? So what's the stressor? What's my current reaction? Why is that not working? And then what am I going to try next time? So that's in this freebie. And I want you to have it because writing it out actually does help. And that's why it's not like you can just type on it. You have to like print it out, write on it, or just like draw it on a piece of paper for yourself. But I want you to have this stressor because it will help you just take time to yourself. I actually still have mine. It's like 6 years old, but I still have mine. And it, what I would do is I would just go through it and be like, okay, Alicia, don't be an idiot here. Like, let's practice this, because practice makes better. It doesn't make perfect. It makes better. Practice makes better. So you know that this stressor is going to come up again. You know that these people that you're interacting with are going to keep coming up. You know that the kid's behavior is going to be the same until something's happening. But if you go into a conversation with your partner about, I already know that this is what I'm doing wrong, that's going to help you a lot, a lot, a lot. Which brings me to my next thing, is about being happy and not right. Because if you are anything like me, you were like, I love to be right. This is amazing. Like, this is wrong and this is wrong. And I told you that this was going to happen and did it. And here's the thing. So number two is being happy and not right. The thing about being happy is sometimes you have to swallow your pride, or sometimes you have to swallow the like, ah, that person is really annoying me, and I would much rather just be happy than be right. Because it also doesn't feel good to your partner for you to constantly be like, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. And sometimes I felt like I was kind of the queen of that. Like, I told you this was going to happen. And then it would turn into a spiral because I was like, with this, I already knew that this was going to happen. Remember I told you? My husband was like, well, yeah, but now it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy because you're constantly looking for it. I'm like, because I'm right. Like, I see this. Like, I see this dysfunction. I see what's happening. You don't. You're too close to the situation. Blah, 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 blah. And I know that you know what I'm talking about because you've probably done it, right? Are you sitting there nodding your head like, yes? Okay, I got you. So the next time you find yourself trying to point out what's going to happen, stop. Don't do it, because your partner is too close to the situation to understand what you're trying to say. And what that means is they are in this dynamic, like whatever dynamic that is happening, they've been in it. So they can't see outside of it, even though you're coming in from the outside with an outside perspective. Awesome. Great. I love that. Me too. It doesn't work. It's going to blow up in your face. And so this is something I tell stepmoms that I'm coaching too, like, your partner does not need to know every single thing that you think They do not need to know every single emotion that you experience. They do not need to know every single good thing, bad thing. Like, they don't need to know everything about what you're thinking. And here's why. It is information overload. And honestly, most of the things that you're probably thinking as a stepmom aren't helpful to the situation. They're probably negative. They probably have some sort of negative connotation. And no one really wants to hear consistently, constantly, 24/7, however often you do it. I hate this because you've got an ex and you've got kids and did it, or your kids suck because blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, there are so many times that I think about running, or our life would be so much easier if you hadn't had kids with somebody else, or whatever the situation may be. That's why I say your partner doesn't deserve to know, think, or doesn't deserve to know every single thing that you think, feel, thoughts that are running through your head. Honestly, you probably don't even want to know all of the thoughts that are running through your head, right? Because it can be so crazy. But that's why I say, like, find a community and, like, or some good girlfriends to just get that out. If you need a community, hey, I have one. I'm here for you. But they don't need to know everything. Choose to be happy over being right, which brings me to my next thing about taking your ego out of things. Like I said, so number three is learn how to take the ego out of things. Like I said, I was more focused on being right than being happy. And like, look how good I am at this. Like, I'm so good at running my life. Like, let me run yours. And I'm right. Did I tell you that I was right? I'm right. And listen, my friend, that doesn't help. Like, what are you doing? Like, if you can get curious about, like, why is my ego taking over? Why do I feel like I need to be right? Why do I feel like I need to prove that I'm, like, the perfect stepmom? Why do I feel like I need to have the perfect house? Like, why is my ego driving all of my decisions? Why are they driving all of my actions? Like, what is going on here? So when you can take the ego out of things, it's a lot easier for you to just be human and make mistakes. You don't feel like you have to be like this perfect person anymore. You can actually make mistakes. And taking the ego out is a lot of work, a lot of work. And it's not something that like happens overnight. Oh no, my friend. Oh no, you're going to be working on this for a really long time. There are times now, so I'm almost 13 years in, there are times now that I can like hear it in the back of my head, like talking to me like, hey, we could be right. Remember how good that feels? And I'm like, and I just like roll my eyes and I'm like, whatever. We're not doing that. Remember, you are in a box. Like, I know that you can see, well, the box has holes, so obviously the voice can come out. But no, the ego is, especially in a step family, does not serve you. Kind of like you can't fix what you didn't break. Same thing here. Like, you can't fix what you didn't break. So if you can learn how to take your ego out of things, it's not a competition. You don't always have to win. You don't always have to win. I don't know. Like, I wish somebody would have told me that. You don't always have to win, because I was like, I'm going to win and I'm going to be the best. And da, da, da. No, you're not. You're going to fall on your face and it's going to be scraped to hell. And you're going to have to stand there with whatever's on your face, doing whatever. But it's okay to make mistakes. And I think that's the hard part about being a stepmom, is that you come in and you want to make sure that you're doing everything right. And you, especially if you come in without any kids of your own, like if you're childless or child-free, still going to do a podcast episode on that, so hang with me. But if you're coming in without kids, there's this feeling that you need to prove yourself. Like, I need to prove that I know what I'm doing and I'm really good at it and I'm not going to dork this up. And then you realize that you're like in over your head and you're like, what in the hell is happening? Because I don't know what I'm doing and I'm actually really struggling. But here's the thing. I'm not going to let anyone know that I actually am struggling. So I'm just going to fake it till I make it. And then you like burn out and like do all the things and you're like, what the hell is happening? I don't even know. And I just want to say, you're not the first person ever to be a stepmom. You might be your partner's first relationship after their separation. You might be your stepkids' first stepmom, but you're not the first person ever to be a stepmom. So just know that there are going to be mistakes that are made. There are going to be mishaps. There are going to be hurt feelings. There's going to be so many things that go wrong that I can't even tell you. Like, I can be like, look out for this, 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 and this, and this. But with your specific situation, I can't be like, oh yeah, that's definitely going to happen. Because you don't even know. Like,
everything is so contingent, like on the day, maybe even like the hour, depending on what's happening. But it's okay to make mistakes. And if you make a mistake, please hear me when I say this. Go be the first one to be like, hey, you know what? I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Let I'm sorry be something that rolls off easily, or let an apology be something that comes really easy to you, because it's going to get you so far in being a stepmom. Because I used to be like, my way or the highway, I will not apologize, everyone will play by my rules, until I realized that they wouldn't, and they couldn't, and they didn't, and I was like, oh, well, shit, this is not working out at all. Then I had to realize, like, okay, I'm going to take my own, like, I'm going to do some accountability here and, like, own my own thing, and just, like, acknowledge that, hey, you know what, I messed up, hey, I'm really sorry, like, that rupture and repair thing, like, if something goes sideways with my stepkids, to go back and be like, hey, sorry, I didn't handle things the best way. Going forward, here's what I would like to do. So yeah, learning to take the ego out of things is going to be your friend. Like, it's going to be one of the things that you are really going to benefit from. Another thing that you're really going to benefit from is understanding and knowing. This is something that really helped me. Like, understanding and knowing that, like, my husband didn't like this either. I remember I used to be so annoyed about, like, the constant texts, the constant emails, the constant phone calls, the constant back and forth, the constant communication. Why are we doing this? And after maybe like 100 or 200 or 300 times of, like, rage screaming at him about this, he finally just said to me, Alicia, I don't like this either. And it stopped me dead in my tracks. And I was like, wait, what? He's like, do you think that I wanted to be standing over here while we're on a date, or while we're, you know, spending time when it's just us without the kids, texting somebody else about whatever's going on, whether it's the kids, not necessarily the kids, but like the ex, like, do you think I want to be doing that? I don't. This was like really early on in our relationship. Maybe like 6 years ago, even though it was like, actually it was longer than that. It was probably like 8 or 9 years ago. But he was like, I don't like this either. What I would like to do is have a conversation with you. What I would like to do is be spending time with you. What I would like to do is be doing whatever it is that we're doing since we don't have the kids. And here's why. Because I know that this is going to happen. I know that a text is going to come in that I'm going to have to take, or a phone call is going to come in that I'm going to have to take. And then this is the flip side of it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to put that back in its box, and then I'm going to come back to you and be like, okay, I'm ready to hang out. I'm ready to do whatever we're doing. But you're over here pissed as hell. This is something that I have to do. I have to communicate with my ex because we have kids. I have to do things that I don't want to do. Does that mean that I want to do them? No. And I thought that you knew that. So since you don't, let me go ahead and say it for the 1800th time. I don't like doing this. That's not really how he said it, because my husband's a lot more diplomatic than I am, which is going to be the next thing we talk about in just a second. But I was like, oh, wait, you don't like this? And if he would have just shook me right then, like, I totally would have understood. But he was like, are you okay? Like, what is happening? I'm like, oh yeah, I just thought that you were always like, okay, well, let me just, he was like, what is wrong with you? No, of course I don't like this. So just know that your partner doesn't like the constant communication. There's a good chance, I should say, that your partner doesn't like the constant communication back and forth of what's happening here, what's doing this, or, you know, I've got some stepmoms they coach that, like, they send proof of life videos back and forth. They may not like doing that. They do it because it keeps the peace. And that's such a loaded thing. That's like another podcast that we could talk about. But, like, it's just easier to hear me, because this used to be like something that would really piss me off. It's just easier to handle the text and be done with it than to have it like lingering. Because if they don't handle that text and you know about it, you're going to be constantly like, well, when are you going to answer? When are you going to answer? Well, then what's she going to say? Well, then what's going to happen? Did it? So it's just spiral, right? So just know that your partner doesn't like the communication either. It doesn't like doing it, but they have to do it. And it sucks. And it like can ruin like your date nights. It can be ruined if you're in more than just a date night. If you're like past the date night and then you're into like the after hours part, it can ruin like your perfect breakfast in bed, whatever the situation may be. Just know that they're going to come in at like the worst possible time. So number 5, back to like the communication and being diplomatic, you know, I had said like, oh yeah, my husband's like way more diplomatic. That was something that I had to learn. That was not something that I ever did. Like I kind of alluded to just a few minutes ago, I was very much like my way or the highway. I'm so good at running my life. Like here, let me run yours. Like watch this. Like I am going to rock this. Like I'm so pumped. And it worked until I realized that, okay, maybe I didn't realize, like maybe my husband had to like put it in my face and be like, hey, you actually are really abrasive. You are quite abrupt. You could just like lighten up a little bit. And I'm like, who the hell are you to tell me to lighten up? Like, this is bullshit. But I had to learn to compromise. That's not something, not at all. That is not something that I was willing to do. Like I said, like previously, I'd just be like, I'm going to do whatever it is that I'm going to do. And like, you're either with me or you're not. And I'm good if you're not, because next. But with my husband, I was like, okay, I love him. I'm actually willing to compromise. Wait a minute. That means that I must like really like him, because I can't even believe that I'm willing to compromise. So I got the compromising down, which was really good. But then about being diplomatic, he was like, Alicia, you can still get your point across being diplomatic. And I was like, or you can just go for the juggler. Like that works too. And he was like, we don't need to do that, right? There were so many conversations or so many situations that happened where I was like, look, you can do it your way, like the nice way, or I can go in and like it's just going to be a bloody mess. Like, what would you like? And he's like, how about you have me handle it? Well, that didn't work either, because he's not saying what I want him to say. He's not using the tone that I want him to use. He's not covering the topics that I want him to say. And then I also can't be there to be like, okay, and then if they say this, then do that. If you say this, then that. And then like all of these things. You know what I'm talking about. I know you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you've been there. And it used to like, oh my gosh, if you're listening to this and you understand, but it used to live rent-free in my head. Like, okay, when he has this conversation with somebody else, they're going to say this, and then you're going to say that. And then they're probably going to say this because they know, because they've been studying. And it was just like, what the hell was wrong with me? Like, why do I keep doing this? Why am I tormenting myself? And then I kind of realized that like, oh, it's the control thing, right? Like, because I had to have control of everything, and I needed to like feel like I was in control because I didn't have any control of anything. And then I finally, with some outside help, understood that, yeah, he was right. There's a lot of things that my husband was right about, but he was right that I could be kind, but firm and direct, which is like my style. Like, I could do that and still get my point across and not, I don't know, ruin, detonate, explode, set off a relationship. Like, I could keep those relationships intact. It's wild what kindness gets you, especially when you're like, all you can do is like see red, when you're like blind rage, right? And then so about being diplomatic and like the communication, these are the same ones for number five, but communicating like with me early on was a one-way street. Like, you're gonna listen to me, and I'm just like telling you everything. You're going to listen to me. We're going to do everything that I want to do. And, you know, I might take your feelings into consideration, but probably not. I was like a raging toddler. And I've talked about this before, like on a different podcast, not mine, but somebody else's. And it took me a while to understand why I communicated like that. If you can believe this, it's crazy to think that I've got a podcast, because like growing up, I was painfully shy, like almost mute, like never talked. I was really, really, really shy. And I was a people pleaser for a really, really long time, 24 years, like a really long time, until I wasn't. And then I was like, just burn bridges and like capsize boats. I didn't care, like whatever. But you can't do that. Like, you can't go from like one pendulum, or like one side of the pendulum to the other, right? I mean, you can, but then you've got like both extremes. And so I was like, okay, I need to come back down to like the middle, somewhere in between. And again, back to compromising, back to like listening to the other side. I had to learn to be like, okay, I'm feeling very angry right now. Give me like an hour to like process, like get this out of my system, like just be by myself. Because what's going to happen if we keep pressing this conversation, I'm just going to explode. And it's, you know, happens if I explode. Like, it's just like, it's not good. I did not have any emotional regulation at all. It was like all of this like pent up anger, or like pent up like people pleasing, like was coming out in like the worst kind of way. And I was like, okay, I just need a little bit of time to process and like get my thoughts together and then like let's rejoin because this isn't working. So it's wild to me to see like the change in our communication from like the beginning. My husband is a saint, a saint. Like he is definitely like the ice to my fire. He is definitely like the calm to like my chaos, or like what used to be chaos. I don't operate like that anymore. I like got it together now. I don't really like, my feathers don't really get ruffled anymore. I don't really get like super upset about things, but man, for the longest time, like too long, like I could not emotionally regulate. Like I couldn't. It was like way too much. But I learned how to actively listen and not just be like, okay, I'm gonna listen until you take a breath and then I'm gonna like step right in and I'm gonna say whatever it is I need to say. But I'm gonna actively listen to you, like, okay, what are you saying? Process what you're saying, and then actually come out with like a thoughtful response and not just trying to skew whatever it is that you're saying or trying to skew the whole situation to get what I want, which I spent a lot of time doing that too. So our communication is a lot better. Like we do actually communicate really, 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 really well. Yeah, it's just, it's wild. Like I said, my husband is a freaking saint, because if I was him, I don't know if I would still be in this situation. So let's move on to communication. Number six is boundaries. And this is such a buzzword when it comes to being a stepmom, right? Like, oh, make sure you set your boundaries. 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 But here's the thing that nobody tells you about them. You don't go around and saying, okay, I'm going to set a boundary with you. Since you disrespect me, I'm just going to go and like not do this. You know, if you do this and I'm going to do that, that's not how this works. Boundaries, hear me out, because that's what I did at the beginning, right? I wasn't going around like, I'm going to set a boundary with you and 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 you. No, I did not do that. But what I did do was, if that person does this, I'm going to do that. And I'm justified in doing that, right? Because remember, I didn't have an emotional regulation at that point. But here's the thing. Boundaries aren't for the other person. They're for you. You are the one that's feeling unsafe or unheard or unappreciated, whatever it is, overwhelmed, all of the things. Those boundaries are for you. They are in place so you can feel safe. They are in place so you can take a break when you need to take a break. You need to be able to communicate them. And if you need help with that, I still coach. Like, come in, like, let me help you, or join the community. Like, happy to help you with that. Links for both are in the show notes. But here's what nobody tells you about boundaries. Do not go through, like, don't make a list of like 1800 things that you want to set boundaries about, because guess what? Now you have 1800 things that you need to like enforce boundaries on. And I don't know about you, but that, I can't do that. Although that is what I did at the beginning. I was like, here's my list of boundaries. Don't cross them. Here's my line in the sand. Cross them. It was almost like a dare, like, do it. I dare you, right? What the hell is wrong? What? Why would I do something like that? It felt good. I don't know. And maybe you're in that situation now and you're like nodding along like, yeah, I totally get this. But don't set 1800 million boundaries, because you are never going to be able to completely enforce all of them. So the thing that people don't really talk about when it comes to boundaries is this. You don't necessarily need to enforce them 800, but like, you don't necessarily need to enforce them 100% of the time. And so I did that at the beginning. It's a really great way to like burn yourself out. If you're really looking forward to that, like 100%, definitely 10 out of 10 recommend it. But if you're like, okay, I just want some peace, I would do like 80-20. Like that's what I do. Or maybe you could do like 95-5 or 90-10. Something just to like get, like dip your toe in the water and just kind of like build up your confidence with it. And I always recommend, like when I'm coaching a stepmom, like start with something really small, something that is going to be really easy for you to enforce, and like build on your confidence from that. Because if you just go in like balls to the wall about some massive boundary that you want to set, like let's say like the last podcast episode I did was about getting the ex out of your house. So if you're like, okay, you know what, the boundary that I'm gonna set now is the ex is never coming in this house ever again, okay, let's pump the brakes there, because that is a massive thing to do. I would start with something small, something that you can have a little bit more control over. That's not something that you have a lot of control over, like right away, even though I know that you would love that. And your boundaries don't necessarily need to glow in the dark like mine did. Everyone knew what they were, and yikes, it was like, definitely don't cross these. There were spikes in the ground, like warning signs, do not trespass, like girlfriend, like, learn from my mistakes. Don't do something crazy like that. But seriously, if you need help with boundaries, I have a free resource on that as well, like 5 steps to setting healthy boundaries. I will link that as well as in the show notes. But boundaries are really important. Here's what I want you to remember about boundaries. They're really important. They're for you, not the other person. And please don't make a list of 1,800 of them. And work on something small, like to build your confidence up. And it's okay, again, to fail at this. It's okay to, like, have a setback. It's okay for it to, like, work sometimes. And then, like, oh my gosh, it's not working right now. Or I screwed up and I didn't enforce that boundary. It's okay. Tomorrow's a new day. The next time is a new time. Debrief yourself, like, what went well, what didn't go well. And then, okay, let's practice for the next. So boundaries are important. Just be mindful. Sometimes they can be a minefield. Number 7, seek support before you need it. And if you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, Alicia, easy for you to say, you're a stepmom, like, you're a stepmom coach. No, I wish somebody would have told me before we got married, like, hey, get support now. It might have saved me a bunch of money. It might have saved us a bunch of money, like, from our wedding and the honeymoon and all of the things. Maybe we wouldn't have done that. But honestly, like, get support, not even for, like, all the crazy things that are happening within, like, your stepfamily situation, but just, like, yourself. Like I said, like, I could not emotionally regulate, but our marriage counselor was a stepmom, and she was like, listen, let me tell you what you're screwing up, right? Because the first sessions were like, okay, he's doing this wrong and this wrong. And I was like, this is amazing. I love this, right? Because I wasn't in the crosshairs. And then she turned her chair to me and said, okay, Alicia, let's talk about you. I was like, what about me? I'm perfect. Like, I didn't bring kids to this situation. Like, whatever. She was like, listen, no. Same thing as my husband had said. Your approach is off, you know, all of these things. And I was like, oh, I don't really like this. So that was something that I didn't like having to look in the mirror and be like, oh, I actually have a part in all of this. It's not everyone else's fault, like I'm trying to pretend. No, I had my own part that I was doing, and I had to own that, and I had to make my own changes. So there are just little tweaks that you don't know that you need to make without getting that outside support. That's why I'm like, please get support early and often, like before you need it. And even if things are going well, just have somebody on retainer. Like I've talked about this before. I've got stepmoms that have coaching packages with me. I don't require you to use them every 2 weeks. So they have 6 coaching sessions, but they're spread out over a year. They're spread out over 6 months. They're spread out over 8 months, however often you want to have them spread out. But just on retainer, like, oh my gosh, hey, Alicia, something came up. I need to hop in. Cool. Let's work it out. But yeah, get support before you think you need it, because the road to being a stepmom is long and twisty and windy, and sometimes it goes through some dark valleys. Don't go at it alone, my friend. Please don't go at it alone. Number 8, time heals. And this is something that used to, like, really piss me off when people would be like, oh, you know, just give it time. Just give it time. It's totally fine. Just give it time. And I'd be like, I don't have time. Like, I wanted this fixed, like, yesterday. Like, I'm, like, a fixer kind of person. Like, fix this, like, yesterday. And so when people would say that, I'd be really pissed. Like, I don't want to wait. I'm kind of impatient. That's something I also had to work on. Like, when my husband was, like, lighting up Francis, I was like, now. Like, let's fix it now. So time does heal. Like, time helps. Time is your friend in this situation. Like, just hang on. Like, if you can just hang on, sometimes you'll get a lot farther, because the longer you guys are together means the longer that they were not together. The longer you guys are together are the more memories you have together, the more time that it's been since they have been together. Like, that's just a way to, like, think about it. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Like, the longer we're together is, which sounds, like, freaking obvious. Like, hello, Captain Obvious, duh. But I was like, oh, yeah. But then also, the longer you're together, the longer you have in your role as a stepmom, the more confidence you're going to build, the more time you guys have operating together as a team, the more communication you have, the more time you had to, like, tweak things, the more time that you've had to be like, oh, you know what? Actually, this isn't working. That's not working. The more time you can, like, look back and reflect and be like, oh, you know what? We kind of screwed these things up when it happened with this stepkid. The next time, let's change it with this stepkid. Or, and then if you've got your own kid that you're adding in, like, oh, we really didn't do a good job with this one, but let's make sure that we try to do a good job with that one, right? But yeah, just time is your friend here. Time is definitely your friend. But then also try to look at it from like this perspective. So let's say that you're about to head out the door. Like this real story happened this morning. My daughter didn't feel well, so she's been home from today from school. And we had to go to a doctor's appointment. And I'm like, okay, we need to leave in like 30 minutes. What would you like for breakfast? And she's like, scrambled eggs. Cool. So I make them. There's too much cheese on them. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And so then I'm like, okay, what would you like? Cereal. Great. So I make her a bowl of cereal. And had, like, years ago, like, with my stepkids, like, had they done something like that, words are hard today, I would have, like, lost my mind. Like, are you out of your mind? Like, I just made, like, whatever. Or, like, the cup thing. Like, I want a blue cup. I don't want the red cup. I don't want the green cup. I want the blue, whatever. And you're just like, are you crazy? But here's the thing. Those decisions are a big deal to them because that's all they have to worry about. That's all they have to think about. So if they want the blue cup, give them the damn blue cup. Because yes, it matters right now in this moment in time, but is it going to matter in 5 months that you had one extra dish to wash or two extra dishes to wash or that you were 5 minutes late to this doctor's appointment? No. Is it going to matter in 5 years from now that you were late? No. And that was such a hard concept for me to grasp because anything and everything needed to be addressed. Like I said, I'm a fixer. Like, let me fix everything. But it was just like, this is so frustrating. And the more time you're together, the more time, the more time you have, fortunately and unfortunately, to experience the same things over and over again. Unfortunately, because it's really annoying, right? It's really frustrating. But fortunately, you have more time to experience the same thing over again. So then you can kind of collect data from this and be like, okay, I've recognized this pattern. This happens when... Listen, I know that you're a stepmom. I already know that you know. I already know that you're looking for patterns. Like, you recognize that when your stepkid come back from the other house that they are strung out on sugar or they've been up late or they've watched too much TV or it's hard to, like, get them to regulate. Like, you already know what I'm talking about. So you know that that's coming up. So what you can do is like, okay, I know that this is a situation. I'm going to go ahead and step back because I've had time to see that this happens almost all the time in this situation, in this dynamic. So just use time to your advantage. Please use time to your advantage. So that's number 8. Number 9 is how to handle things with humor. Okay, so you have been here for a while, so you know that I'm pretty sarcastic. Sarcasm bleeds into like all facets of my life, whether I'm coaching, whether I'm in the community, whether I'm being a wife, whether I'm being a stepmom, whether I'm being a mom, a friend, whatever. That's my thing. Like, sarcasm is hilarious to me, if done right, right? But it's also a way that I can process through like negative things because I can be really mad that I'm in this situation or I can be frustrated that this is happening, but it also can use a little bit of humor to go with it. I feel like it softens the blow on a lot of things. And also, like, my husband and I were just laughing about this the other day. And it's funny because I used to not be able to laugh at myself, like, not even a little bit. Like, okay, I could laugh at myself if I, like, made a mistake, but I could not laugh at myself if I was, like, if it was, like, a stepmom situation or, like, a wife situation. Like, I had to be the perfect wife and the perfect stepmom. Now I don't even care. Like, whatever. Like, you guys hate me? Cool. Like, I'm a good wife today? Great. I'm a bad wife today? Great. I, like, whatever. And the other day, oh, man, I wish I could remember what it was, but we were laughing, and my husband and I, were just joking around with each other, and he said something about, it was something like how he used to be, like, super uptight, or you couldn't take a joke. And I was like, whatever. And I started laughing and he was like, no, but seriously. And I said, yeah, you're right. No, but seriously. But had he said that like 8 years ago, 9 years ago, like, oh, if you could just take a joke, I would have been like, and you're a jerk. Like, you don't need to be a jerk. He's never like mean, but he is a lot more easygoing, a lot more laid back than I am. I'm like very black and white, very in your face, very all these things, where he operates more in a gray area and is a lot more laid back, and things happen like it's not the end of the world, where it was definitely the end of the world for me. And now I can laugh about them. And it actually, like, adding humor to things has really helped. It helped, especially like when my stepson moved in. It helps now, like with my daughter, like parenting her. It's easy for me to just like take a step back and be like, I can't believe that this is happening right now. Like this morning with the cereal and the eggs, I was like, of course this is happening right now. Of course. Like, because we have somewhere to be, right? Or I could be like, ah, and like fly off the handle about it. But then I have to do that rupture and repair. Like, I just flipped out. So then I have to go back and like, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I yelled at you. I was really frustrated, blah, blah, blah. I was not emotionally regulated. But if I can just go and be like, of course this is happening right now because we have somewhere to be. Or today, like, I had a coaching call that I had to reschedule because I had a doctor's appointment for her. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I used to, like, oh my gosh, I can't cancel a coaching appointment, but all of these things. But then now I'm like, you know what? I'm grateful that I get to stay home and I stay home, like not actually go into an office and work, but I get to stay home and I have the flexibility to be here if my daughter is sick or like pick up like the slack part of it. And it's just like, bring me back to center. And then I can kind of laugh about it and be like, you know what? Today is the day that things are going to go sideways because I have plans. Like, I'm going to record this podcast episode. I have coaching. You know, I'm going to put some things together that we bought. And then, just kidding. That's not at all what I'm going to do. Like, this morning, my daughter slept until noon. And I was like, well, I don't know how long she's actually going to sleep. You know, like that weird conundrum of like, okay, how long is that person going to sleep? Like, ooh. So then you don't really ever get anything done. That's like where I was this morning. Okay, this is a funny story. I will tell you this since we're talking about humor. The very first time I stayed here, spent the night, then the morning after, like that following morning, like this is like, why is this a weird like part of it? Anyways, we spend the night. The next morning, my husband wakes up. He's an early riser. And he wakes up and he's like, hey, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go for a run, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to sleep for 5 more minutes. And he was like, okay, cool. You know, when you like live with people, granted we weren't living together at that time, but like when you live with people, like you learn more about them. Here's one of those times. And he comes back 5 minutes later or so I thought and was like, hey, are you going to get up today? I'm like, yeah, it's only, you know, 7:35 or whatever. And he's like, no, it's 11. And so he lists off like all of these things that he had done that morning. And I was like, oh my, I was mortified. I was like, oh my gosh. I said, sorry, I really enjoy my sleep. And he was like, yeah, clearly. Now I could never sleep until 11. Like, oh, those were the days, right? And, you know, we make fun of each other about that, or he makes fun of me about that. But I'm like, I like to sleep. I don't know. So, yeah, learn to handle things with humor. And the hard part is to, like, let that facade of, like, being the perfect stepmom go. But if you can just, everyone makes mistakes. I don't have to be perfect. It's not a requirement for me to be perfect. You're going to get so much further. So these are the 9 things that I've learned. I will do like a really quick recap for you. So 1, protect your relationship. Make sure that you guys are on the same page and like operating well together. Otherwise, yikes, everything's going to go sideways. 2, focus on being happy and not right. That's a really, 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 really tough pill to swallow. 3, how to take the ego out of things. You've got to learn how to take your ego out of almost everything. If you need help with this, hey, I'm Alicia, I coach, and I also have a community that you can join. 4, my husband didn't like the constant communication, the constant like back and forth either. Shocking, I know, shocking. 5, work on being diplomatic and work on your communication and like getting those like dialed in, like will get you so far. 6, boundaries. And what nobody tells you about them is that you don't need to make a million of them. Just do a few of them, start small, and you can kind of, once you get those down, you can kind of grow from there and then continue on. 7, seek support before you need it, because things are going to come out of left field and you're going to be like, oh, I did not see this coming. And then now you're down creek without a paddle. Up creek without a paddle. 8, time heals. Time helps. Time will work in your favor. Just give it time. I promise. Like, just give it time. 9, learn how to handle things with humor. It's okay for you to make mistakes. It's okay for you to laugh at yourself. It's okay for you to laugh at yourself. So these are my 9 things. What, how long have you guys been together? What are, like, if you've been together for 2 years, what are 2 things that you've learned in the 2 years that you've been together? If you've been together for 6 months, what's one thing that you've learned? Send me a message on send me a message on Instagram. Let me know what you think. And please leave a rating and a review. Like, I would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much for being here. I will chat with you next week. Thanks for taking time to listen to this week's episode. If anything was helpful or resonated with you, please share it on social media and tag me. I'm just at Alicia Krosko. And if you could leave a 5-star rating and review while you're at it, that would also be really helpful. And if you find yourself struggling with your stepmom journey and you want a little bit more support without the hefty price tag of coaching, you might want to check out the Stepmom Side community, which is my own private community for stepmoms, where you get to connect with other stepmoms around the world and myself, where I hold weekly office hours and monthly group coaching. It's kind of like you have your own personal coach in your own back pocket, again, without that hefty price tag. See you next week.